Our order of service this morning is based on matins, and we're going to move the greeting of the peace back a little bit into our service, as well as the opening hymn. So we're going to begin here in just a moment. Make sure that you let us know that you were here this morning. Fill out those faith fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you here. And so the only other thing I have that's sitting here looking at me is just a reminder that our voters meeting, or the congregational assembly, I guess is what it's called, after late church next Sunday over in the CLC. And we've got some packets that are ready out there, assuming not all of them have been taken yet, but I think we still have some copies. Let's begin with a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts to worship this morning, and then we'll begin with the responsive invocation followed by confession and absolution. May the Lord bless our time in worship this morning. Please stand as we begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord our God remembers his covenant forever. My help comes from the Lord. Today, while we hear the great promises of God first given to Abram of old, we recall the promises we have made to others, to spouse, to children, to friends, co-workers, and to God, especially those promises we have broken that have proved our unfaithfulness. Apart from God's mercy and grace, our sin cripples even our best intentions, and we fail in our love of God and of neighbor. Therefore, let us confess our sin and flee for refuge to the only God who promises forgiveness and new life in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, beginning with a moment of silence. O God, our Father, we confess that we are by nature sinful and that we have turned away from your command. Forgive us for all that we have thought and said and done that is contrary to your will and your ways. And forgive us for times we have trusted in our own righteousness instead of relying on your grace in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. Have mercy on us. And forgive us, O God. We'll hear these words in our epistle lesson. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce unto you the grace of God. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's greet one another then with the sign of peace. And friends, once you have returned to your seats, you may be seated for that hymn, Cross of Jesus, Cross of Sorrow. During our 11 o'clock service, my friends, we now continue with the scripture readings appointed for today.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are for the second Sunday in Lent. The Old Testament lesson, Genesis 12. God's promises to Abram received by faith. Moses writes, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you of a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, To your offspring I will give you this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward Negeb. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Romans 4. God's promises call forth faith. St. Paul writes, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." The promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may be rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
And our lesson for this morning, my friends, needs no introduction. It is truly gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 3rd chapter, as a ruler of the Jews, given audience by Jesus at night, is given the gospel in a nutshell. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, 'You are the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Please join me in speaking these words as we know them so well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved." We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. In our portion of Martin Luther's Small Catechism in this Matin service is the last two petitions of the Lord's Prayer and its conclusion. What is the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer? What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil the world and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. What is the seventh petition? But deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. How does the Lord's Prayer conclude? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What does the word amen mean? This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. While for the light to shine upon us, but now we have enough light on the cross to illuminate any darkness. Remember those words that we all spoke just a moment ago. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You may be seated. Friends, on this first morning here where it started so dark out, the moon was so bright out, yet a person would think when I was starting to drive in, I'm like, it's got to feel with this moon so bright and beautiful, it's about 3 a.m. But we'll notice tonight just how much light there is shining. And when we look at the light shining in our lives as a result of what Jesus has done to us, we remember these words so well. I want to talk about those words today from John chapter 3. And let's remember a little bit about what this was all about. Jesus is speaking to a man named Nicodemus. Now, whoever Nicodemus had been up until then, and whatever he became later, I'll share that with you in a moment. One of the things that he became is he, although he didn't become one of the 12 apostles, he did become one of the followers of Jesus and one of his most ardent defenders. There was a time when, as the opposition against him grew, he was the one that would have to stand up and say, you know, even a condemned man is permitted a hearing, you know, and is permitted to be able to defend himself. And then when Jesus finally did die, Nicodemus was one of two people that helped with the process of the proper burial into the tomb where the stone was rolled in front just as the Sabbath day was beginning on that Friday afternoon. More than likely, you know, Nicodemus became a part of the church to the point where he became one of the followers of Jesus, and undoubtedly it's in that setting where he shared this story to be told to us about visiting Jesus at night. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, but he was also a member of the ruling council, the Sanhedrin. Now, yeah, those were the people that voted to put Jesus to death. And as Jesus pointed out, and he did so almost in an accusatory way, look, you are the teacher of Israel. And he was. This is one of the people that you're supposed to look up to for advice on just how it is that the kingdom of God is supposed to work. Now, there's a couple possible reasons why Nicodemus was visiting Jesus at night, but undoubtedly he was interested. And he needed more time. I mean, my guess is during the day, this was the time Jesus was very popular. And he probably couldn't have gotten close to Jesus, and even if he had, he certainly could not have gotten Jesus to take the time that he could take now. And more than likely, he was afraid of the other Jews, because even though he was the person who did say, you know, we believe that you are a teacher from God, because no one can do the signs you've been doing unless God is with him. One chapter earlier was the wedding at Cana where Jesus did his first miracle, changing water into wine. And so those miracles had begun. I mean, certainly not a ton of them yet compared to what he was going to do. But there had been enough where already there was confusion amongst the leaders. Is this person a fraud or not? Nicodemus made it clear. And even though he said we, as though maybe all of us do, you kind of get the impression Nicodemus was in the minority. But one thing that it seemed like all of them, from Nicodemus on down, were having a problem with was this concept of spiritual birth. We have another name for it. We call it faith. We'll get to that in a moment here. Because to the Jews, everything was about being a part of the right family line, the birthright, being a part of the right bloodline, the births where flesh gives birth to flesh. And that's why Nicodemus' only reaction was, well, can a man when he's old somehow be born again into his mother's womb? No, 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 no. And Jesus makes it clear that we're not talking about the birth of the flesh, but the birth of the Spirit. And in that spiritual birth, Jesus decided it was time to shine some extra light. Just like we're going to be seeing extra light tonight, Jesus taking the golden sun had some very, very golden themes to share right out of John 3:16. And the first one, yes, is the person who was at the root of this all. Because that's where John 3:16 starts, with God. All things start with God. At the end of our epistle lesson this morning, we heard these words, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the God who has created us. And this is the God who puts all things into place. Everything that's going to happen, including with our salvation, had to start from him. But not just from him, but from his love. And everything about God. Yes, I know that when we take confirmation and we're supposed to identify, what is it we identify with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit? With God the Father, it's supposed to be about creation, but with the entire Godhead, it probably is more like about love. And when John wrote his letters, this is what he said. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us, because God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God had a love for you that we can neither understand nor somehow give back. It was the most perfect love in the world, and it was a love that, while it was for everyone, extended personally to you. That's how much God thinks of you. That's how much God loves you. And out of that love, he gave. And when God gives an amazing, unlimited abundance, a free gift. A free gift where we hear those words that we've heard many times before. By grace you have been saved through faith. This not of your own. It is the gift, the free gift of God. Not of works, so that no one may boast. We can't take any credit for what God has done here, and certainly not when it comes to the bringing to us of Jesus Christ. So God, in his love, has given to us a special free gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, a sacrifice that we cannot even contemplate, cannot even imagine. His own son, so that we who have sinned over and over again can have life. Curious what the next word is. Now, it's translated whoever, but there are some Bibles that actually use the word so that everyone, and it's not a bad rendition of it, because it cannot be a free gift, and it cannot be truly grace unless it has been accomplished and available for everybody. Here's the way to look at it. Try to imagine some shelves someplace that have got this wonderful package of things that you need for both body and soul. And the door has been opened, and there is something there for everybody. It will not run out. Now, that doesn't mean, though, that everybody is going to avail themselves of it. No matter what it is that is offered, it is sad that not everybody takes advantage, even of a special free gift that God has given just for you, that he cared so much about. But whoever is God reminding us that this is a God who desires all men and women and children to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what God wants. This is how God treats us. So that now, whoever in this thing that is universal, that has been given for everyone, now transcends into faith. God's love, the free gift of his Son, on behalf of everybody, that is now received by faith. And faith is the thing, obviously, that Nicodemus could not grasp. There was nothing in that that made sense to him. Jesus would start talking about, you know, we occasionally have a breeze down here, and unless it comes off the Gulf, that's got a certain way to it, sometimes you don't even notice that there's a bit of a breeze blowing. If it's strong enough, you do. But just like Jesus said, we don't know where it comes from or where it goes. It just is. We can still breathe whether there's a breeze or not. That's kind of how faith works. Now, faith, it says, is the assurance of things that we would ordinarily just hope for. The things where we say, well, I hope it will be this way. Faith is what makes it an assurance. And that's the hope that we live in the love of Jesus Christ today. The conviction of things we have never seen. Let's be honest. Every single time you come to worship your Lord and Savior, every time, you're worshiping somebody that you've never seen. You're worshiping somebody that you only know by faith. Now that makes you and me either the craziest, just absolutely out of their mind individuals, or it makes us people who are of great faith. People who understand that, yes, this is what my life is all about. Oh yeah, I'll get to see Jesus one day. I know that. And faith says, I don't just think it. Faith says, I have that assurance. I know what my Lord did for me. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish. You know, there's a side of that that we don't even like to talk about. Except when you open up the pantry to everybody, and here is a package that everybody needs, you don't like to talk about those that aren't going to take advantage of it. We'd like to talk about those that will. I mean, let's face it. In faith in Jesus Christ, someone is going ahead of you to prepare a place just for you. And with God the Father as the contractor and God the Son as the master builder, just imagine what that place is going to look like for you. Can't even imagine what it's going to look like for me, but it's going to be something special. And it was made for you. For those who perish, yes, there will be a punishment. But it's not even a place that has been made for them. It was made to deal with the root and the people, those that were most responsible for sin, the devil and his angels, but for all who would perish. That's what waits for them. But that's why we haven't seen the last day yet. Because the Lord is patient with us, not wishing that anyone should perish, and that includes anyone in our lives who does not have that message of the gospel, but that all should reach repentance. But instead of not perishing, we get the ultimate addition, the life that goes on forever. A life in which we are led by God, who has given to us all things. That's why Jesus himself said, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Because now that we belong to Jesus, we live our lives on the basis of the fact that since we have eternity in our hearts, what can we do? Since heaven is going to be a part of our life one day, as we prepare for heaven, what's the best way to spend our lives? What's the best things that we can do? Well, whatever it is, it goes back to our Old Testament lesson where it said, I will bless those who bless you, and in you all families of the earth will be blessed. Yes, he was talking to Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, but let's be honest. As we try to be a blessing for God's people, you know, those who know about their Lord and Savior and those who do not, we want to make sure that we are a blessing and that we share that blessing, that that blessing always goes from us into other people, because for you, for them, and for everyone, Christ is your golden reward. Not something that people always get to see immediately, but just like a sunlight that's going to seem so much longer than an extra hour tonight, Christ is your golden reward. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Friends, that's what the gospel is all about. It is about a loving God who sent his Son for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We now receive our offerings, and if you've not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. We bow our heads. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault the soul and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, our Heavenly Father, who loved the world so much that you gave your only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life, we thank you for the holy life on earth that Jesus lived, his precious suffering and death, his glorious victory over sin and evil that has been won for each of us. Bring to us now that living faith in him and a share in the life that he has obtained for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray for all Christian people, O Lord, that they may live in faith and in reverence for you, in humble obedience to you, and in brotherly love toward one another. We plead for all who desire or have need of our prayers, the sick, the sorrowing, the lonely, the downcast, the homebound, those who are hospitalized, facing procedures, those that are heading for or are on hospice, or in any need of body, soul, heart, and mind, we now lift up before you someone in our own life that we name before you in a moment of silence. Give them those gifts, both of body and of soul, which will be for their present and eternal good. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus, we pray for ourselves, that in your mercy, these holy days of Lent, they may help us to see and grasp anew all that our Lord has done for us and for our salvation. Grant that we may always rejoice in your love and find strength for life's way, so that we may with patience face every trial, with perseverance run the race set before us, and at last taste the peace of our Lord's victory, especially as we share it in the body and blood that he has given for each and every one of us, and in which now is being prepared. For as you show your love for us, and we show our gratitude for all that you have done, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. the words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Concluding at the bottom of page 9 with the closing prayer. Please stand as we close in prayer together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thanks so much for being a part of our service today. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.